honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with Marine Corps veteran Bob Wynn of Monterey, California. We heard about how you earned the Purple Heart, Bob, but are there any other decorations you think we should know about?
Well, there was a Presidential Unit Citation, which was awarded for the combat base at Quezon, which is pretty famous. The entire 26th Marine Regiment got that, and the Vietnam Cross of Gallantry was just awarded for a couple of specific things that we did. That probably I shouldn't be talking about because they were not necessarily known in the press at the time.
Boy, does that put all kinds of questions in our minds, but we respect you can't talk about that. You told us you have been giving talks about PTSD and how families can support their loved ones who may be battling that. What kind of groups are you giving these presentations to?
Any place that provides a venue. I mean, I have a lot of retirement places, Rotaries, Kiwanis, this group that we're at today, I was here. And the flavor of the talk changes based on the amount of military people that are in the room. I'm going to be giving this talk, interestingly enough, next spring to the Marine Corps class that I graduated with in November of 1967. We have reunions, and I'm going to be giving the talk back there on the East Coast to this reunion group, most of whom went to Vietnam because we all graduated in 67 and we got there in 68 or 69, depending on whether we were pilots or artillerymen or infantrymen. And the flavor of the talk will be different for them. For them, I will be trying to convince them to do what I do, to identify themselves as somebody who's been in a combat zone, been in a war, and if you wear gear, whether it's a hat or a shirt or a jacket or something that identifies you, you'd be surprised. It's like a magnet for people to come up, and I've had people come up to me and now that will talk to me when they wouldn't talk to anybody else because they understand that I understand. So it will be different for them. If it's a group that not a lot of people have a lot of exposure to the military, have never been in the military, then it's more trying to explain what it's like to be in a firefight.
If there's somebody listening to this who says, boy, I'd love to hear this talk. This is really relevant for my group or my situation. What should they do?
I've never had it videoed, and I don't have a website. It's just word of mouth at this point, but I'd be more than willing to travel a distance to it. Of course, I live in Monterey, California, but I'd be more than willing to travel, and it's sort of my way to give back. So I'm sure they can maybe contact you, and I can give you my information.
Well, you're talking about giving back, and I think everybody listening can hear your heart for those who've been damaged by war in different ways. But that's not the only way you've given back. I learned something about you today. It's not something I talk about much, but I had the privilege of sharing one of my kidneys 5 years ago, and you're a kidney donor yourself. You gave your kidney to a pretty special guy, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have the privilege when I was age 59 and my dad was 83, to my career Marine Corps dad, to donate my kidney to him, which gave him 7 years of life beyond that. Pretty special to be able to save your parents' life.
That's the very straightforward version of the story, but I'm sure there's a few things that you learned or you experienced as a result of that that you couldn't have anticipated when you offered your kidney to him.
Well, one of them is neither of my parents were churchgoers. To the best of my knowledge, they were not Christians, even though they knew that my wife and I were very strong Christians and had raised our family that way. And just before they wheeled us into two different operating rooms, one to take out my kidney and a second to put him in an operating room to be the recipient, we were laying in the bed side by side. And he held out his hand and asked me to pray for him. And we had 7 more years of that kind of a relationship.
And one of the reasons I think more people don't decide to become living kidney donors is they fear that there may be some negative effects for them or their future. And think you've done a few things athletically since becoming a kidney donor that may fly in the face of that. How many triathlons have you completed?
I've always been a good athlete, a high school and college athlete. So my daughter was also a very high-level college athlete, and she convinced me that at age 62, I could do triathlons, which she had gotten into in her early 30s, I guess, and that we have the same skills, running and swimming. And she said, "Dad, everybody knows how to ride a bike." So I bought a bike, and together we did about 20 triathlons together, and we've done half a dozen open water swims from Alcatraz to San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, across Lake Washington, across Lake Tahoe, across San Diego Bay, and then we've done about a half a dozen 100-mile bike rides, one-day bike rides.
All after you donated your kidney?
I donated it when I was 59. I started doing that at age 62.
Got to ask you, all that open water swimming. You know, there's a reason people are afraid to open water swim. Even around here in the Monterey Bay, they're worried about sharks. Any shark encounters in all those swims?
No. My goal was always not to be in the front and not to be dead last, be somewhere in the pack. And if you're in the pack, your chances are probably one in 200 or 300 of being picked out.
Well, I guess I have to ask, too, is there anything else you're not telling us that some noteworthy things that you've done? Because you seem to have a lot of surprises in your story here.
No, not really. My life hasn't been noteworthy in any regard. It's just the way I was raised and the way I've tried to live my life. And I married the right lady. We've got two wonderful kids and five great-grandkids. And now that I'm retired, we spend a lot of time with them.
Well, some of the people listening might disagree on the noteworthy part. I do want to ask you one more question about this presentation you give with regard to PTSD. Is there one kind of overarching message that you hope people receive? You said you tailor your talk a little different for a different audience, but is there one kind of central message you're hoping to communicate?
Yeah, just because somebody is suffering from PTSD does not mean there's anything wrong with them. It's not a deficiency. It's not an inferiority thing in their makeup. The guy that I described that first got me into this, who's written these books, is one of the least likely people you would ever expect to suffer from it, and I've encountered other people that were extremely strong, successful people that you would never imagine, and come to find out when they find out about your experiences and what you've been through, they will open up to you, and you would never suspect that they suffered from PTSD. So you should not, as I did, think, get over it, move on, put it behind you. You should never think that of people. It's inexplainable necessarily who it affects or how bad the symptoms can be.
So it sounds like, a lot of people are out there trying to provide hope for those who suffer from PTSD, but it sounds like you're focused more on the rest of us to help us have more patience, compassion, understanding for those who battle PTSD?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do, because of that, run into people who suffer from PTSD, and I explain to them right off the bat that I'm not medically trained necessarily to deal with them, but there are a lot of people that are. But one particular incident was an individual whose wife wrote a letter to our pastor at church, and he referred it to me. And in her letter, she said that her husband had multiple deployments as an Army sergeant to Iraq and Afghanistan, and he'd had problems with drug and alcohol, and now they had a young daughter. He was trying to be a better father, but he wouldn't talk to anybody. And was there a way that the pastor could counsel him? And the pastor tossed it off to me, and so I agreed to meet with them after church one Sunday, and I use this example in my talk. I agreed to meet with them after church, but his wife did call us and say, "Now be prepared for the fact that my husband will not, he does not talk. I mean, he might just sit there and stare for an hour. He might not say anything." And I said, "Well, that's fine." So we met after church. I didn't know this couple, a younger couple. Obviously, we met after church. We went into a small room off the side of the sanctuary, and I just kind of introduced my wife and I and told him a little bit about my experiences in the Marine Corps and in Vietnam. His eyes kind of opened up, and he didn't stop talking for an hour and a half. And his wife just kept looking at us like, "Who is this guy?" And it was just, it gave me the sense that even though I wasn't medically capable of dealing with his issues, he understood that I understood, and so he would talk to me, and that was a start.
And I'm sure that's touching some heartstrings for a lot of people out there. If there's anything else that you think we need to know, feel free to share, but I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for serving your fellow veterans. Thank you for the inspirational example you're providing for us. I know you've got a lot that you're looking forward to, and you're dedicated to continuing to serve in this way, but if you look back, if you look in the rearview mirror, is there something that you would say at age 77 you're most proud of or you're most satisfied with?
My family. You know, my family came along. Obviously, we got married after I got back. My wife was pregnant with our first daughter 10 months after we were married, so they're now 50 and 52 years old, I guess, and they're both married, have very strong marriages, and five grandchildren who are all great kids in their own right. So, yeah, I mean, you go through something when you're 21. I was 21, 22 years old when I was in Vietnam, pretty young guy, but that experience should not necessarily define you. So, yeah, I'm most proud of the fact that I've been married for 53 years to the same lady, and our kids have been married 25 and 27 years, respectively, to the same guys. And so that's what I'm most proud of.
And we are proud to know you. Marine Corps veteran Bob Nguyen of Monterey, California. If you would like to connect with Bob and have him deliver his PTSD presentation to a group in your area, go to hometownheroesradio.com, where you'll also find a short video with some of Bob's Marine Corps memories. That's all the time we have on the radio today. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.